From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Heavy Duty Shoes. The text is Deuteronomy 33 and verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Here are two things provided for the pilgrim, shoes and strength. As for the shoes, they are very needful for traveling along rough ways and for trampling upon deadly foes. We shall not go barefoot. This would not be suitable for princes of the blood royal. Our shoes shall not be at all of the common sort, for they shall have soles of durable metal, which will not wear out even if the journey be long and difficult. We shall have protection proportionate to the necessities of the road and the battle. Wherefore, let us march boldly on, fearing no harm, even though we tread on serpents or set our foot upon the dragon himself. As for the strength, it shall be continued as long as our days shall continue, and it shall be proportioned to the stress and burden of those days. The words are few, as thy days, thy strength, but the meaning is full. This day we may look for trial and for work which will require energy, but we may just as confidently look for equal strength. This word given to Asher is given to us also who have faith wherewith to appropriate it. Let us rise to the holy boldness which it is calculated to create within the believing heart.
Thank you.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions, the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, "The Immutable Faithfulness of God." In chapter 3, Paul speaks of the great advantages possessed by the Jews. They were God's chosen people, unto whom he committed the oracles of God, the Old Testament scriptures. Sadly, the Jews tended to depend on their pedigree as a guarantee of heaven, ignoring the need for repentance from their sin and the need of a true spiritual relationship with God through Christ. The Jews were abusing God's truth. They protested that God could not reject them because they were his covenant children. Paul's argument is that not all who are Jews are of the true Israel of God. As the apostle wrote in his epistle to the Galatians, we are children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A mere profession of faith that evidences no love for Christ, for heaven, or for holy living will not withstand the scrutiny of God's judgment. Now to continue this message, the immutable faithfulness of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
The idea here is, Paul, even if we feel as you charge, even if we are wrong in rejecting Jesus Christ as you charge, we remain Jews, we remain God's covenant people. And surely, Paul, you are not willing to say that because of some sin or weakness in us, the immutable God will abrogate his covenant. And the logic sounds to be very, very strong. Seems a perfect syllogism. God took the Jews as his people. We are Jews. Therefore, we're his people. Always be careful when you come to logic. When I was teaching theology, I used to try to hammer this into theology students. When you face an argument, always go to the root of it. Before you start snipping off the branches, go to the root and understand the premises of the whole argument. And you see, the trouble is that this is a faulty line of argument. God has entered into covenant with the Jews to make them his people. Okay, let's accept that. Next line, we are Jews. Stop there. Were they? Paul has already said in chapter 2, verse 28, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, and that is circumcision which is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. So were they Jews? Well, in actual fact, they weren't really Jews at all. Now, Paul will deal with this question much more fully in chapters 9 through 11. And there, and I can say it tonight because I don't know if you or I will ever live long enough for me to get to Romans chapter 11. But there he argues in chapter 11, 26, 27, and then 29, all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. And he gives the reason for this is my covenant unto them. When I shall take away their sins. And verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, God does not change his mind for his gifts and calling. Does that mean that every Jew, or everyone who called himself a Jew, is saved? No, no. Chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, not as though. In other words, he's saying, it is not the case that the word of God has taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now follow this carefully. Abraham's the father of the faithful. Who was Abraham's eldest son? Ishmael. Who was the first person circumcised after Abraham? Ishmael. But Ishmael was not in the covenant of God. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac had twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau was of the line of Abraham through Isaac. He also was circumcised, but he was not of the seed that inherited the promise. For, says God, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What he is saying is that mere descent from Abraham doesn't give anybody a right to the promise. The seed of Abraham means more than lineal descent. It means those who have the faith of Abraham in their hearts. John Flavel, a great old Puritan writer, put it this way. He said, if the faith of Abraham be not in your hearts, it will be no advantage that Abraham's blood flows in your veins. How true it is. Paul's opponents were arguing a lie. To accuse him of undermining the faithfulness of God because he said the Jews were going to be accountable for their sin was absolutely ludicrous. As Bishop Hanley Mole pointed out, and the Jews knew right well, God's promise had never said that impenitent individuals of the chosen race would be safe from doom. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, the promise was the very opposite. But the unbelieving Jews, like so many unbelievers in our churches today, they just didn't want to believe the warning. Moses spoken, this is an alarming method of speech, a turn of phrase. In Deuteronomy 29:21, Moses warned of the curses of the covenant. Now there's a theme that we could well take up. The curses of the covenant. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm not a pedo-baptist, by the way. That's why I was mocking these pedo-baptists. I'm a Presbyterian. I believe in covenant theology. I rejoice in all that the Scripture teaches of the blessings of the covenant. I have spent my ministry time here seeking to expound the blessings of the covenant. But as I go abroad and visit churches and listen to preachers, I see the covenant concept being used in a way that is very similar to what is before us. We have people who either give no evidence of grace, who seem to have no conviction in the great things of God at all, but they are embraced in the, quote, covenant community. Their parents were in the community. They have been baptized into the community. They are accepted in the community. And they're assured of the blessings of the covenant. And I never hear a preacher warning about the curses of the covenant. The curses of the covenant. Moses went on to say, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, all these curses shall come upon you. What I'm saying tonight is that the Jews had a way whereby people who had no right to the promises of the covenant of grace laid hold of them. And I am saying that in our churches we have people who are laying hold of the promises and they have no right to those promises. We have people hiding behind a covenant in which they have no saving interest. What is it to lay hold of the promise if you have no right to it? What is it to lay hold of the gospel and you have no right to it? It is when you use the gospel as a cloak for sin. When you use a profession of faith to guard your heart against the conviction of the Spirit rather than to open your heart to the leading of the Spirit. When you use the very profession of the gospel to reject the Christ of the gospel. When you use the profession of faith in Christ to escape righteous judgment, if I can use a very crude expression that I have heard from time to time, when you use the gospel as fire insurance from hell, but you have no desire for Christ or heaven within your heart, then you are abusing. You're abusing the truth of the covenant faithfulness of God. This carnal security is prevalent in churches all around the world today. What we have come to call easy believism is rampant. It's easy to be a Christian. Of course, the Bible says the opposite, but oh, it's easy to be a Christian. We are told by eminent preachers today, you can ask Jesus to be your Savior while you deliberately reject Him from being your Lord. And they want to tell you you're saved. Well, I want to tell you, if that is your hope for heaven, unless God saves you in the meantime, you'll be damned irretrievably in God's hell. This is an abuse of the covenant and of the faithfulness of God. How often I hear people say, I believe in eternal security. Do you? Would it come as a surprise to you for me to tell you, I'll give you that book and I'll give you $1 million and I don't have 1 million cents? If you can find anything in that book that teaches anything remotely like what is called eternal security, period. It's not there. What is there is a security for saints. A security for those who are in Christ. A security for those who are the believing ones. But how many people who simply say, I believe in eternal security, period. And they mean by that, I became a Christian when I was 5. Of course, I have been a harlot and a drunkard and a fornicator and a liar and a thief and a worldly person and a Christless person for the last 50 years. But I have eternal security. Man, don't you believe it? That's an abuse of the faithfulness of God. Eternal security has been the cry of many a hypocrite. Oh, I believe in the perseverance of the saints. When you're a Christian, you believe and you keep on believing. You repent and you keep on repenting, for you have a new attitude to sin and to the Savior. You love the Lord and you keep on loving. You hate your sin, you despise your weakness, you confess how foolish and how frail you are, but all the time your heart is Christward. To such, the faithfulness of God guarantees your eternal security. When God saves you, there's not a devil in hell can unsave you. But woe be to the man who does what these Jews were doing. And that is taking a great truth and perverting it as an excuse for their own wickedness and their own sin. Men and women, there's something here that is very, very simple. And yet it's very profound. I'm within a heartbeat of eternity. And so are you. You can afford to be wrong about your politics. But you can't afford to be wrong about this, for there's no second chance. Listen, God's way of salvation And God's promises of grace are beautifully simple and yet ineffably profound. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is this gospel? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day from the dead according to the Scriptures. That's good news for every sinner that's going to die. That's us all. The news is better still, that all that Christ accomplished in His life and in His death is God's free gift to all who in repentance of their sin, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, will come to Him and receive Him as Savior and Lord. To all such, He gives secure and eternal life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.